Hello, my name is Lisa Ashton, and I'm a discipleship pastor here at Common Way, and that song was perfect for this morning, and in just a moment, we'll dive right in, but happy first Sunday in June. Thank you, Nate. I'm going to need a lot of water this morning. Happy first Sunday in June. I know there's a lot of grad parties and celebrations going on. Have any of you attended any this weekend? Some of you, yes, I can see you're nodding. And so I can guess that maybe some conversations have been, what would be a good gift for so-and-so? Because when it comes to celebrating, when it comes to congratulating and being a part of people's big moments, we want to have good gifts to give. And for me, for the month of June, that means I have my mom's birthday is in June. We have Father's Day in June. And as I was thinking of good gifts for them, for the first time in a while, I think, you know what? I actually might have a good idea for a gift for my dad that he doesn't already have. And at this stage in the game, I think, what else does he need? You know, he's already selling the stuff in his garage and basement on eBay. So why would I need to give him anything else? But I'm excited. And of course, you're probably wondering, well, what is this good gift, Lisa? I figured you would be. I heard the yes in the back. Well, since my dad might be watching, I can't give you the answer. They live in Michigan. So sorry about that little teaser, guys. You can talk to me afterwards. But I think it's going to be really good. Wink, wink. And then my mom's birthday is in June. And for the first time in 10 years, I can go home and celebrate her birthday. And I was talking to the other day on the phone and just kind of asking kind of what she's thinking about the day. And she says, well, you know, I would like to get up early in the morning on my birthday and go water skiing. That's what my mom likes to do. And I said, well, Mom, would it mean a lot to you for me to come home early and get up early, you know, at 6:30 a.m. when the water's glassy and clear to watch you and cheer you on water skiing? And she giggles, and she's like, yeah. So I'm like, good gift, you know? Like, I'm excited. And she's amazing, 74 years young. She gave me permission to tell you that today. But I'm excited to be able to be present with her and cheer her on and give her that good gift. Well, speaking of good gifts, today marks a special day in the church calendar. Do any of you know what today is? Wow, nice. Pentecost Sunday. I heard some answers in the audience. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday where Christians all over the world celebrate the coming of the gift of the Holy Spirit when he was poured out on the followers and people of God in Jerusalem right after Jesus ascended into heaven. And let me tell you, this was kind of a crazy, wacky, weird, wonderful event. It's described as a violent, get this, a blowing violent wind that came into the room. And there was as though tongues of fire that appeared over people as they were praying. And then all of a sudden, they just broke out speaking in different languages. How'd you like that to happen today? A little weird. But it was absolutely incredible. And as a result of this event, of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the good news of Jesus went out. And 3,000 plus people believed in him that day. And thus began the church. And so this is a significant day to celebrate in church history. And you might be thinking, oh, well, we're going to talk about Pentecost Sunday today. Not quite. We're actually going to back it up a little bit. And we're going to talk about the coming verses and scripture of Jesus talking about the coming of the Spirit. And diving into that a little bit with this simple truth that I want to leave you with today. And that is this. That the Holy Spirit is a good gift. The Holy Spirit is a good gift. And that ties us into our series that we're beginning called Streams of Living Water. You know, Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to streams of living water, and he talked about it in John 7. Let me read that for you. John 7, 37 through 39, Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams or rivers, depending on the translation, of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to streams of living water. And I find that so beautiful because it's like this picture of ongoing fulfillment and satisfaction that can flow within our life, that can satisfy the deepest thirst of our hearts. And as I'm speaking of that, I'm going to take a quick drink of water here. And as we continue to talk about this year, a year of spiritual formation, you know, the Holy Spirit is integral in that. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential in our key of our formation. So today, as we look at the Holy Spirit, I know some of you might, you know, have all different kinds of experiences in terms of learning about the Holy Spirit, in terms of your church background. And I admit there's a lot of weird and wacky that's out there. And for some, this is something you've talked about a lot. For others, this might be a brand new topic for you today. You know, in some faith traditions, the Holy Spirit is kind of like the center of the magic show. Like all kinds of, if you visit a service, crazy stuff goes on. Kind of don't know what to do with all of it. And you might go to some other faith traditions, and they might not even talk about the Holy Spirit at all. And so there's a wide spectrum of what people believe and how people understand the Holy Spirit today. But by the end of our time, I'm going to do our best to present to you what I think makes a case for why the Holy Spirit is such a good gift. And I think the more and more that we can believe that it's such a good gift, it appeals to our desire, and it appeals to our desire to want more of the filling of the Spirit in our life. And is the Holy Spirit mysterious and unpredictable? Absolutely. That's part of his charm. That's part of what makes him so amazing, is he is so mysterious and unpredictable. But as a teaching team, we're going to do our best to look at Scripture and walk through some important truths about the Spirit. So, you guys ready for the ride? If you're ready, say, ready!
Ready.
All right, so we're going to begin. First, we're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is, like a crash course, and what he does. And then I'll take you through a few passages of the words of Jesus, and those will kind of give you another idea of how Jesus spoke about the Spirit and the important truths that he gave about him. So, to begin, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. I know sometimes people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, you know, or a force. May the force be with you, you know. No, he is God. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, often referred to as the Trinity. So three persons, one God. And you may think, how is that possible? Three in one? If I had a metaphor to try and describe that to you, I would, but I think I might live the rest of my life trying to understand how to best explain it. It's mysterious, but it's something we believe by faith, and it's something that we see all throughout Scripture, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, and that they live in eternal community with one another. And as I said, the Holy Spirit is also a person, and he has character qualities and emotions, desires, and will. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians that actually says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we know grief is a strong emotion. It's a feeling. And so that's just one of many examples of how the Holy Spirit is described with qualities that would point to him being a person. Next question will be, well, what are some of the things that he does? The Holy Spirit is active, let me tell you. He comforts, he advocates, he teaches, convicts, empowers, heals, guides, reveals, intercedes, renews. You know, if I were to ask you, hey, tell me what the Holy Spirit does, and could you have come up with some of these words? I mean, and that's just a small list of how he is constantly active in our life. So maybe you've had a moment when you have felt supernatural peace during a difficult time. Maybe there's a time where you've realized you've said something hurtful to somebody, and you're like, I need to actually go make that right. Maybe there's a time where you've read something in Scripture, and you think, oh my goodness, I understand this. Like, it's real. I'm feeling that it's changing me. Maybe you've started to say something to somebody, and it's like, sounds really wise, and you're like, where is that coming from? It's definitely not me. Excuse me. Maybe you've woken up in the middle of the night with somebody on your mind, and you've just felt prompted to pray for them. Well, chances are all of those instances are examples of the Spirit of God moving and working in you. So this is what we're going to do. As I continue to go through these lists of what makes the Holy Spirit such a good gift, I'm going to say, does that sound good to you? And then I'd like you to say, if you agree, so good. All right, so does this sound good to you? So good. Well, there's more. The Holy Spirit, He gives spiritual gifts. And these are just a few of the spiritual gifts He gives. Mercy and healing, wisdom, leadership, giving, faith, ability to do miracles, serving, tongues, which would be the prayer language, teaching, hospitality, and more. So in a few passages in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 are kind of the main places where we read about spiritual gifts. But the Spirit is so good that He actually distributes gifts to believers for the common good. And so if you are in Jesus, you have been given at least one spiritual gift or several. See, at the moment when you decided to trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit kind of moved in, and He made His dwelling within you. And I guess you could say He kind of brought you a housewarming gift. He kind of brought you a housewarming gift. And it's something that we can use to not only benefit and encourage and build up the people around us, like here, like at the people that we worship with, do fellowship with, but it's also these gifts that God has planned for us to be a part of the mission of expanding the kingdom of Jesus. So if you have yet to unwrap your housewarming gift from the Spirit, or to really understand, hey, do I have any of these gifts? And like I said, there's many more. I encourage you to discover it and to start utilizing it and practicing it. And I also want to say this. There's not one gift that's more important or significant than the other. There are some gifts that are front and center and maybe in the spotlight. Some gifts are maybe more in secret. But in the eyes of Jesus, and in the benefit of the kingdom expanding, all of them are important. And so we need everybody's gifts. We need everybody utilizing them. So does this sound good to you? So good. And there's more. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. Galatians 5 talks about 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so these qualities that the Spirit produces in your life, they are a byproduct. They are a byproduct of your time spent with Jesus. You know, we've been talking about being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And as we walk as disciples of Jesus, this is just something that naturally happens, is that the Spirit of God produces in you these qualities. And it's an important distinction to know that He produces them. We bear them, okay? It's not like we try really hard and, you know, all of a sudden we just produce love or patience in our life. You know, did you like that? That's my little fruit pop. It's something that the Spirit does, and He's actively doing it. And it happens over a period of time, and it's a process, and it's a journey. But as we yield to God, as we surrender to Jesus, the Spirit produces these beautiful qualities in our life. Does that sound good to you? So good. Well, the Holy Spirit's purpose, I was going to ask you, but I just gave you the answer because I clicked too fast. The Holy Spirit's ultimate purpose is to glorify Jesus. Did you know that? All that the Spirit wants to do, all of those things that I just shared with you, of how he's constantly acting and moving, is that the Holy Spirit wants to make much of Jesus. And he's been doing that since the beginning of time. And as we read about the life of Jesus from his birth to when he was an adult and did miracles and lived among people to his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was active in all of that. And you read about the Holy Spirit's power and his filling in the life of Jesus. And he wants to constantly point people to the beauty and the power of Jesus. And he is doing that today. So let me ask you something. Have you ever been with somebody, and as you spend time with that person, you can't help but be drawn to Jesus? It's like, whether they talk about Jesus or not, their very presence gives you a hunger to know him better. It gives you a desire to follow him with your life. It inspires you. And I would say that that is because the Spirit is actively involved in that person's life to make most of Jesus as they live among people. And that's the Spirit. And the people display Jesus because the Spirit lives within them. And I briefly talked about that. So let's look at that quality a little bit more in John 13 through 17. This passage is commonly referred to as the upper room discourse. So before Jesus was to be crucified, he spent this really tender, special time with his disciples. And he wanted to address several important things for them to know before he left, and it was kind of his farewell words. And he specifically wanted to let them know that he wasn't going to leave them alone, but that he was going to send them somebody, the Holy Spirit. And so he had this very sweet conversation with them. Now, can you imagine how they must be feeling? They've spent at least about 3 years doing life with Jesus, 24/7 basically. And all of a sudden, Jesus is having this conversation of saying, I'm leaving. And he doesn't exactly give them the specifics of that. And so it's kind of this very, again, weird, frustrating, confusing thing for them. And of course they have questions. I mean, you read in this passage, Thomas and Peter, they're like, where are you going? Like they couldn't figure it out. Philip is trying to reason it out. Judas, not Iscariot, he has questions too. And these guys are wondering and they're searching for answers. I find this whole conversation very moving because it's one of my favorite moments of Jesus with his disciples. Because I think it's a time when Jesus really communicates how much he loves them, how much he is for them, and how he is really preparing them for what is next. So let's listen to the words of Jesus, starting in John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you, and he will be for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, let me ask you, if Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to send you somebody else, and he's going to live in you, how do you think that's going to blow over? Yeah, great, Jesus, we're so excited. We're glad you're leaving and sending us a spirit. I'm sure they said, nah, we'd rather have you, Jesus. I think we would rather have you. Of course they would. Of course they would. But let's look at these words a little more closely. So Jesus makes it specific to say, I will ask the Father. So again, this beautiful picture of Jesus asking and interceding. And he says that he will give you another advocate. Now this word another, it implies equal to. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you someone equal to me. I'm going to send you another. And advocate here means call to one's aid. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you someone like me, someone that's going to come to your aid. And it's going to be a spirit of truth. You know, some things just don't change, do they? When it comes to the world that we live in today, where people are just arguing, what is truth? Well, Jesus knew that would always be the case. So he actually defines this advocate as a spirit of truth because he knew that his disciples would need that north compass, you know? And he says, you know him and he lives with you and he will be in you. He will be in you. See, Jesus knew what kind of road lay ahead for his disciples. He knew it was going to be hard. He knew what kind of mission he was giving them. He knew it would be wonderful and lonely and impossible without him. And so he thought the best gift he could give them would be his spirit. Jesus continues a little bit further in the book of John in chapter 16. He says these words. He says, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good, some translations, it is to your advantage that I am going away. And unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, the first thing my eyes draw to is this idea that he says very truly. So when Jesus says very truly, that's like truly, truly. That's like in bold, underlined, okay? It is listen up. This is super important. So he's placing an emphasis on what he's saying. And then he says, it's for your good, your advantage, that he goes away. Because if I don't go away, he says, this person who he's making sound like is a better deal, he won't come. And I think it's beautiful, too, that it's like this idea of Jesus and the Father working together for this to happen. Jesus isn't messing around. He's not mincing words with his disciples. He is literally saying, it is better that I go. It is better that I go. Because if I stay, you won't get the Spirit. And he's saying that the Spirit is better for them than himself. So you think, well, what kind of advantage is that? Well, Jesus was limited by time and space. He only could be in one place at one time. He was human. He was fully God, but he was also fully human, just like you and me. And as nice as it is for us to have humans around us to touch, right, to see with our own eyes, there was still limits to his presence and how he could be with them. But the Spirit, he could be present everywhere, and the Spirit could live inside each one of the followers. And so that is why it was the better gift. Jesus knew he was ready to give them an impossible assignment. And that assignment was to make disciples of all nations. And he knew what kind of obstacles and challenges they would face. And so he says, very truly, it's better that I go away and you get this good gift of the Spirit. And you know that good gift of the Spirit was not just for them at that time, but it's for you and me too. It reminds me of a time back in 2005. I had just been given my first overseas missions trip to help lead with a sports ministry that I was a part of. Let me tell you something. I thought I was in way over my head. So it's my first assignment. Our team is 12 basketball players, mostly college, some post-college women basketball players, 5 staff, and we're supposed to spend a month together 3 weeks overseas in Barcelona, Spain, and my job was the team discipler to plan and coordinate 2 hours every day with the team in Bible study, prayer, training, team building, and to do that in the context of an ever-present, flexible missions assignment of traveling through Barcelona. That sounded like a lot to me. And I said, God, I'm in way over my head. How am I going to lead this team of people? What is it going to be like? I've never done this before. And so I remember I don't know if it was at a store or where I found it, but I found this little pink bracelet, like those little rubber kind of bracelets, those cheap things, and it said Spirit on it. And I'm like, that's it. That's what I need to remind myself that the Spirit is with me, that He's going to empower me, and He's going to help me fulfill this assignment that I've been given to lead. So I remember putting that on my wrist, and I kept it on the whole time. And you know what? Actually, it helped to continue to remind me to be prayerful and to believe God in those moments. We had this funny joke, you know, when things went awry or not as they planned to go, because that happens when you're overseas, we'd say flexibilidad, which means, you know, just be flexible and adjust. I remember one morning I woke up and I heard my staff saying, we don't have any food for breakfast. And I'm thinking, what? We don't have any food? That wasn't my area. And I'm thinking, we got to feed these girls before they compete. And so they went out by twos and they just said, we're just going to pray. No stores were open. I guess we got in late that night. So we needed some food. So I was waiting and praying. I'm like, God, you better help them find some food out there on the streets. Well, they came back. They came back, and all they heard was, huevos, huevos, which is eggs in Spanish. And they had found some random guy selling eggs on the street. And they were able to buy a lot of them and come and feed our house. But it was probably one of the highlights of any kind of missions trip I've ever taken, because of how I saw God bring us together as a team. Listen, 17 women in a house for 3 weeks, that's a recipe for drama. And guess what? We were great. We got along great. We called it Real World Barcelona. For those of you who, you know, back in the day that was a thing, you watched reality show. But the Spirit was key in all of that happening, our reliance and dependence on the Spirit. And you know, maybe there are times that you have, there's a situation, you're just feeling in over your head. It could be a moment, it could be a season, and you just need to be reminded, the Spirit is there to help you, to depend on you, or for you to depend on Him to help you. Jesus knew that. He knew that we would have these times where we would need Him. And you know, right before He ascended into heaven, He had another sweet moment with His disciples, and in Jesus' fashion, they were eating again together. And let's read that. So in Acts 1, 4, and 5, says, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them, this is Jesus, Jesus gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I find it striking that He made such a strong command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem. Guys, don't even think about it. Don't even think about leaving or beginning this missions assignment that I've given, but you wait. And He said, wait for what? Wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. Wait for the gift. And He knew that this mission that He had given him would not be accomplished without the outpouring of the Spirit on His people. And He says, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized here just means like immersed, drenched, covered. So He says, you are going to be covered with the Holy Spirit. And guess what event He was talking about? He was talking about Pentecost. That's what He was referring to. Now, later on in this series, we're going to unpack a little bit more of baptized in the Spirit means. But for now and for today, we can just think of it as an outpouring of His Spirit on God's people. And an outpouring to do what? To empower them to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of Jesus. And you know, I wonder, as the disciples heard Him talk about the gift, that if it triggered in their memory a previous time that they had when He gave them a really powerful teaching on prayer. So I want to look at that with you. To set it up, Jesus had just finished praying, and His disciples had seen Him do it. And they approached Him, and they said, "Jesus, would You teach us how to pray like John taught His disciples?" There was something so powerful about the life of Jesus, something that they're like, "We want to know what it is that You have and how You prayed." So they said, "Teach us." So Jesus went on, and He told them the Lord's Prayer, as many of us know, and a parable. And then He had these words for them, starting in verse 11. He said, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, huevos, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" And so Jesus is comparing earthly fathers to the Heavenly Father. And He's kind of saying, hey, if your earthly father, which I know the word here is evil, but that just means human, okay, bad-natured, so He's not like totally cutting them down, all right? He's just comparing, hey, compared to your perfect Heavenly Father, hey, if you as an earthly father know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father? Now, He does something interesting. I thought He would have substituted in good gifts, right, as an equal comparison. But instead what Jesus does is he puts in the word Holy Spirit instead. He actually states the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, wait a second here. You know, the disciples, we weren't even talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about prayer and good gifts. And why did Jesus make this switch? Well, I think that maybe He made the switch because He didn't want them to focus on the what and the how of prayer, but He wanted to focus their attention on the who of prayer. See, Jesus lived His life filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was his power source that what empowered Him to do everything that He did and empowered Him to pray the way that He prayed. And He also wanted to emphasize, hey, good fathers, they don't give bad gifts like scorpions and snakes. Good fathers give good gifts. And the best example that Jesus had was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a good gift. I think in Jesus' vantage point, He knew that the filling of the Spirit was in most cases what would satisfy the deepest longings and desires that His followers would have. And so He's saying, hey, if you're going to approach the Father in prayer, if you're going to ask for anything, ask for the Holy Spirit. How much more does the Holy Spirit want to give, if an earthly father wants to give good gifts, how much more would the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we're going to close today with a simple question. Do you want more of the good gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about? Do you want more of the good gift of the Holy Spirit? Now, I know I talked earlier that some of us still feel that Holy Spirit might be a little weird and we can't map our mind around it and there's a little crazy. But can I just remind you that our Father in heaven gives good gifts? He's not someone that wants to give you a scorpion or a snake, in the words of Jesus. He wants to give you something good. And I like to pay attention to the words of Jesus, and if he says that the Holy Spirit's a good gift, I think he's a good gift. And so he says we can ask. We can ask. A quick word about gifts. You know, gifts aren't earned or merited. That's why they're gifts. If you have to earn it, it's not a gift. That's an award. It's not a gift. Gifts are given without expectation of payment or compensation. Listen, if you have to pay somebody back, that's a loan. That's not a gift. The Father wants to give us good gifts. And it's something that we just need to come to him humbly to receive and ask for it. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I think there's two groups of people here today. There's one group of people here today, and this might be you, where you're saying, I'm still kind of seeking and exploring who Jesus is, and I wouldn't even consider myself a follower, a disciple yet of Jesus. And I'm so happy you're here today learning. And so my invitation would be, Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. So my question is, are you thirsty today? Me too. Are you thirsty today? Maybe you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus, and he's saying, I'm the answer to your deepest longings and fulfillment in life. And he makes that invitation to believe in him. What does that mean? Well, it means to say, Jesus, I'm going to trade my life in for yours. And I trust that what you did for me on the cross, it paid for my sin, it forgave me. And Lord, you want to come in and give me a new life, a fresh start, and cleanse me in an eternal home forever. That's the invitation Jesus gives. And so if you're listening, you're like, yes, I am thirsty, and I do want to trust in Jesus. Well, I encourage you, as you're sitting there, just to tell Jesus that. It's no formula, it's no magic word, but it's simply admitting your need for him in your life and saying, from this day on, Jesus, I want to trust you with my life, and I want to follow you. And if you make that decision, you get the good gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You get the good gift. The second group of people here today, you may have been walking with Jesus a long time, or maybe it's a fresh decision for you. And so may I encourage you to say, I want more of the good gift of the Holy Spirit. I want his streams of living water to flow through me. Maybe that's you. Well, speaking of gifts, I have a gift for you today. And it's this little card, looks really big here. But it's this card, and on the card it says, Holy Spirit, please fill me with your streams of living water. Less of me, more of you. Amen. And we're going to have them at the doors for when you leave. You can just grab one or grab several if you want. I encourage you to place it somewhere where you can see it. And may this be our prayer as we continue to learn about the Holy Spirit in the coming weeks. Hopefully it won't stop after that. But this idea of Holy Spirit, please fill me with your streams of living water. Less of me and more of you. So I just want to lead us in that prayer together as a way to close. And we can put some gestures to it too. So when we say, Holy Spirit, our palms up. Holy Spirit, please fill me with your streams of living water. Less of me, like dropping the stuff in our life that crowds out the Spirit's filling and empowering of our life. Less of me, palms up, more of you. Want to do that with me today? Yes. All right. Let's pray. And you can just do this quietly. I'll just lead this, okay, out loud. Holy Spirit, please fill me with your streams of living water. Less of me, more of you. Amen. And so now may you go enjoy today, knowing that your Father in heaven delights in giving you good gifts. Thank you.